Hi, everyone. Today we're going to be reading the East Boston Times Free Press. This edition is from Wednesday, February 18th, 2026. Edwards follows up on concerns about federal agency visit to East Boston, a staff report. Senator Lydia Edwards quickly followed up on the concerns aired by constituents about a federal agency's operations in East Boston last Thursday, February 12th. Edwards said she was notified that representatives from a federal agency were seen on White Street and in a business district adjacent to Day Square. Edwards called A7, the local Boston police, who informed her that the activity was the Boston Police Fugitive Unit working with U.S. Marshals who were serving a warrant on one particular person, and it was a targeted search for a fugitive. Edwards also learned that some community members believed, based on their independent research, that at least one of the cars was the federal vehicle for U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. But from what I can tell, they didn't go after anyone for immigration, and they weren't wearing masks, said Edwards. My understanding is that it was a federal agency, and that agency was the U.S. Marshals Service. The U.S. Marshals Service is under the jurisdiction of the U.S. Department of Justice, DOJ. ICE operates under jurisdiction of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, DHS. I understand and appreciate the community standing for our immigrant neighbors and fully support the recent executive orders from the governor and mayor of Boston. ICE is not making us safer and indeed is causing more confusion and breaking down hard fought for community trust in our police, said Senator Edwards. Moore Street Residential Project Presented to HVNA by Adam Swift. The developers of a proposed three-story, six-unit residential building at 3 Moore Street made their initial presentation to the Harborview Neighborhood Association at the group's February meeting earlier this month. We've not held an abutters meeting yet. This is our initial informational meeting, but we will be back, hopefully relatively soon, for a vote on this, said Attorney Richard Linz, representing project developer Jam 5 Properties, LLC. The reason that we are here is that we do require relief under the Boston Zoning Code. The proposal is on a 5,000 square foot lot with an existing single family home and an adjacent garage. We propose to build a new single structure with 6 units total. It will be a mix of 2+ bedrooms and three bedrooms, said Linz. They range in size from 935 square feet to about 1,150 square feet. Linz noted that under the zoning for the neighborhood, there are a number of options the developer could have looked at for the parcel, since the city no longer has a lot size minimum for residential development. We do have the possibility of looking at the site from a different perspective, rather than a single building. We are entitled to subdivide the lot to 2,500 square lots, said Linz. We could construct 2 3-family dwellings of 3 stories each. If we do that, we are not required to have any off-street parking. One of the most significant changes to East Boston zoning, Lynn said, is that 1 to 3 units on a single parcel do not require off-street parking. I know that is probably an unpopular provision in the Boston Zoning Code, but that is the current state of the parking requirements for East Boston, Lynn said. Our proposal is one single building, very similar to what we proposed for a project recently. A lot of that has to do with the efficiency of building the site. Linz and the development team were questioned as to why they were proposing a single building that required zoning relief instead of 2 smaller buildings with potentially smaller units for the neighborhood. 2 separate buildings versus 1 single building actually require a lot more site prep and certainly make the design of the building a little less efficient, said Linz. If we can do it in a single building, we can avoid 2 separate water services, 2 separate electrical services, etc., and we can make a much more efficient design for the building. The zoning code does allow for 6-unit buildings in the district, but the project does need zoning relief for lot width. The district requires a lot width of 55 feet for 6 units, while the Moore Street lot has a width of 50 feet. We believe that the intention was to try to have larger lots for purposes of a single building, but you can make this at work for 6 units. It just has to be 2 separate buildings, said Linz. The height of the 3-story building would be 35 feet, which is within zoning requirements, and the depth of the building at 61.5 feet is within the maximum requirement of 70 feet. The project is seeking relief from parking requirements based on topographical issues and the inability to add parking to the back of the property. Linz noted that the project was built as two separate buildings, there would not be off-street parking required. He added that one of the existing curb cuts for the property will be closed, adding an additional off-street parking spot in the neighborhood. In other business at its monthly meeting, the HVNA heard from Cindy Baxter about her plans to start a Friends of Constitution Beach group. Baxter said she would like to recruit neighbors in an effort to have a voice at the table when decisions are being made about the beach, as well as to address concerns, pursue fun events, and help coordinate improvements at the beach. I know that it is an idea that has been out and about for really years now, said Baxter. What happened was that some of the work associated with Project Shade, I think many of you heard about that the DCR was doing, but the DCR didn't talk to folks on the Orient Heights side of the beach and had plans to do a lot of things right in front of people's backyards. Baxter noted that her backyard opens on the beach and that there have been issues with public drinking and drug use on the beach near her home. All this stuff is overwhelming when you don't have a voice, and once again we found out about Project Shade and the idea of building another pavilion basically in our backyard when we already have a drinking problem and everything I just mentioned. There was a renewed interest in getting together, Baxter said. The HVNA also heard from Morgan Balin about the CSA program from Eastie Farms and the ability to buy co-op farm shares for fresh produce this year. Eastie Farms owns and operates local farming sites in East Boston and around the region, and also provides educational opportunities and food support in addition to the growing and CSA produce share programs. Need help affording food? Call Project Bread's toll-free food source hotline. When food costs compete with heating bills and rent, many Massachusetts families are facing impossible choices. The uncertainty around nutrition policy changes makes the situation even more challenging. If you or your family need help accessing food, call Project Bread's toll-free food source hotline today at 1-800-645-8333. The food source hotline connects residents to resources right now. Trained counselors help with applications for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, share resources on the Healthy Incentives Program, HIP, connect families to free meals for children and locate emergency food programs like community meals and food pantries. The hotline also provides referrals to other federal nutrition programs like Women, Infants, and Children, WIC. Whether you're a college student, a senior, or a family facing hardship, the Food Source Hotline provides confidential free support. The hotline is recommended by the Massachusetts Department of Transitional Assistance and the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. Call Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. or Saturday from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. for support available in more than 180 languages. Get help now. If you are struggling with food insecurity, call 1-800-645-8333. Visit projectbread.org for more information and resources in English, Spanish, Portuguese, Chinese, Vietnamese, and Haitian Creole. The East Boston Times Free Press Forum. Social media must be off limits for children. After about 20 years of social media platforms operating without any legal or moral constraints, the evidence is overwhelmingly clear that social media is toxic for our children. Much like the tobacco companies 75 years ago, Big Tobacco was fully aware of the health dangers of their products, but concealed their findings for decades. Today's tech conglomerates have hidden the truth of the addictive nature of their algorithms upon our children. The recent release of internal emails and studies from these social media companies has revealed that they were well aware of the danger that their algorithms pose to young people whose developing brains are susceptible to the nonstop messaging that spews from their platforms. However, as far as those rapacious social media companies are concerned, our children serve merely as profit centers for them. Their business model is simple and predatory. The longer a child remains tethered to the screen, the more data is harvested and the more revenue is generated. It is clear that the social media companies lack any sense of morality and they never will self-regulate. There's simply too much money at stake to ever prioritize child safety over shareholder returns. The global community has finally begun to fight back. Australia recently enacted a law that prohibits children under 16 from holding social media accounts on major platforms. Other nations, including Spain, France, and Portugal, have followed suit with similar bans. Even China has recognized the danger that social media platforms pose to children and has implemented a 40-minute daily limit for children under the age of 14. The time has come for Congress to take similar action by modifying Section 230 of the 1996 Communications Decency Act. For too long, this law has protected online platforms, websites, and internet service providers from liability for content posted by third-party users. While Section 230 was intended to foster internet growth, it was never meant to provide a legal shield to companies that knowingly design products to be addictive and harmful. One generation of American children already has been scarred by the ill effects of social media. We have seen the spikes in depression, anxiety, and self-harm that track perfectly with the rise of the smartphone. Congress needs to take action now, not just to regulate content, but to mandate a minimum digital age of consent for the benefit of future generations. Our children's mental health is not a commodity. It is time that our laws remove our children's fingers and eyeballs as profit centers for big tech. Boston Wentworth Institute of Technology announced new 5-year pilot agreement. The City of Boston and Wentworth Institute of Technology recently announced major agreements on payment in lieu of taxes, pilot, and an amendment to their institutional master plan, IMP. The new pilot agreement includes a commitment of more than $5.6 million in cash and community benefits over the next 5 years. The agreement is the first written pilot agreement between the City and Wentworth in more than 20 years, creating a predictable and reliable schedule of valuable partnership benefits for the city. The IMP amendment, which passed the BPDA board today, will deliver more student housing sooner than initially planned, increase public open space, and continue investments in college and career pathways for Boston Public School students. Boston thrives when our anchor institutions bring their many resources together to invest in our communities. Through these agreements, Wentworth Institute of Technology will deliver a reimagined, larger on-campus residence hall able to house their entire first-year class, 2 new public courtyards, enhanced community benefits, and continued investments into college and career pathways for our Boston Public Schools students. This 5-year pilot agreement builds on our new approach to work with institutions to establish a predictable schedule, boosting annual cash payments and community benefits at a time when our Boston taxpayers need relief. Even with threats to higher education and research under this federal administration, our anchor institutions continue to engage and partner with us to support our communities and move Boston forward, said Mayor Michelle Wu. New pilot agreement. Wentworth has agreed to a new 5-year pilot agreement with the city, which includes cash and community benefits of more than $5.6 million over this period. Wentworth has been a long-standing partner with the City of Boston through Boston's nation-leading pilot program, a system launched in 2012 that governs annual voluntary cash and community benefit contributions from the city's largest private, nonprofit, and tax-exempt institutions. This partnership is based on the mutual understanding that a welcoming, safe, and financially stable city, which delivers high-quality essential services, is critical to the continued success and financial health of Boston's large nonprofit institutions. Under the new 5-year agreement, Wentworth will resume annual pilot cash payments to the city from $50,000 in fiscal year 26 to $125,000 in fiscal year 30. Wentworth paused pilot cash contributions to the city over the last several years due to financial challenges brought about by the pandemic. This agreement coincides with Wentworth's strengthening operating position and belief in the importance of the pilot program. Additionally, Wentworth commits to contributing annual pilot community benefits valued at a total of $5.2 million over the term of the 5-year agreement, benefits that will be reported annually to the city and subject to annual review to align with city and community needs. Wentworth's commitment to delivering community benefits in close partnership with community needs predates the pilot program. The new agreement reflects Wentworth's continued work to sustain and grow its baseline community benefit commitments to support public education, access to public and institutional spaces, and a mutually agreed list of other shared city and institutional priorities. Community benefits eligible to be counted toward this goal are quantifiable, directly benefit City of Boston residents, and are not part of the core mission and services of the institution. Wentworth and the city will focus on renewing a mutually agreeable voluntary pilot agreement before expiration of the proposed 5-year agreement on June 30th, 2030. Accelerated and expanded investment in student housing. Compared to the original IMP, approval advanced by planning in 2024, this 2026 amendment will enable Wentworth to deliver 572 more beds than was originally envisioned for the Pike Residence Hall project in a larger and reimagined dorm building, and much earlier than previously expected. The new 972-bed Pike Residence Hall will house its entire freshman class. The construction of this new dorm will also allow other existing dorms to be renovated or redeveloped. The reimagined Pike Residence Hall brings Wentworth closer to its 10-year goal of adding 1,814 net new student housing beds, ultimately housing more than 75% of students seeking on-campus housing. This sustained investment in campus housing will continue to reduce the number of students living off campus, easing pressure on the existing housing stock in Fenway and Mission Hill, and supporting long-term residents, seniors, and families in those neighborhoods. Planning will continue to work with Wentworth to monitor off-campus student housing impacts through the University Accountability Ordinance report. This amendment to the Wentworth IMP to move forward with the delivery of a larger, reimagined Pike Residence Hall is vital not only to the well-being of its students, but also to the Mission Hill community as a whole, said Chief of Planning Kairos Shen. I want to thank the university for their continued partnership with the city to ensure its student population is appropriately housed and for their commitments to enhancing the public realm with new connections to the larger neighborhood and transportation network over the next 10 years. The approval of the amendment to the institutional master plan is a milestone that reflects far more than campus growth, said Mark Thompson, president of Wentworth Institute of Technology. It represents the deep collaborative relationship we have built with Boston over many years, from dual enrollment partnerships with Boston Public School students through Beacon Pathways to Strive's 100% job placement rate for graduates with diverse learning needs. Wentworth has always believed that a stronger institution means a stronger city. The plan paves the way for meaningful investments in our campus and our community, and we are proud to move forward together. We welcome the new pilot agreement between Wentworth Institute of Technology and the City of Boston, said Enid Eckstein of the Pilot Action Group. We believe Wentworth's written 5-year commitment to resume pilot cash payments after a multi-year hiatus is an important step, good for the community, and provides predictability for the city. The agreement also expands Wentworth's community benefit investment in alignment with the need for investment in Boston Public Schools and long-term vocational programs. I applaud Mayor Wu and Wentworth for advancing this new dorm building, said Executive Director of Mission Hill NHS, Patricia Flaherty. This IMP amendment represents an important step in the evolution of Wentworth, as well as a win for Mission Hill. By building sufficient student housing, it will lessen the burden on existing neighborhood housing and allow more longtime residents, seniors, and families to remain and maintain our vibrant and diverse community. Significant new public realm and transportation improvements. The IMP amendment also includes improvements to the overall public realm, including 2 new courtyards and improvements to the current pedestrian path known as the People's Pike, improving pedestrian access to and through the Wentworth campus. The university will build a new connection to Ruggles Street as an extension of the People's Pike, which will strengthen access to public transportation with a new north-south path alongside the new Pike Residence Hall. In addition, Wentworth will add new bike share stations on campus and contribute $133,650 to the Boston Transportation Department in support of the bike share system. Continuing community benefits. Wentworth has been a longstanding partner to the City of Boston and Mission Hill. The university's Strive program has supported nearly 6,000 Boston Public School students since its founding, serving approximately 100 students per year and achieving a 100% job placement rate for graduates with diverse learning needs. In collaboration with several surrounding BPS high schools, Wentworth has also provided dual enrollment opportunities for BPS high school seniors, enabling students to earn transferable college credits in STEM fields while completing their high school diplomas. These programs, along with Wentworth's annual contributions to community organizations and neighborhood development, have been a feature of Wentworth's ongoing partnership with the City of Boston. In addition, the university is contributing approximately $40,000 annually towards community organizations and community development. Altogether, the IMP represents a total of 6 new development projects over the term of the next 10 years, in addition to more than $3 million in anticipated linkage towards affordable housing and more than $600,000 in anticipated linkage towards jobs training. New England Aquarium to screen new documentary exploring penguin love and conservation, special to the Times Free Press. Penguins may be some of nature's most devoted partners. Many species form lifelong bonds while others find their mate for a season. Penguins, a Love Story, a new documentary recounting remarkable stories of penguin courtship, connection, and resiliency from South Africa to Australia, debuts at the New England Aquarium on the Simons Theatre giant screen Friday, February 13th. The film introduces audiences to critically endangered African penguins from South Africa and fairy penguins, the smallest penguin in the world, from New Zealand and Australia. Shot in Cape Town, South Africa, the story follows Lenny, an African penguin searching for his lifelong mate. On the other side of the beach, Fluffball, an orphaned penguin chick, is lovingly cared for by humans at a penguin hospital. His surrogate mom feeds him sardines and teaches him to swim, nurturing Fluffball until he is fully grown. The film then takes audiences to coastal Australia, where a group of fairy penguins, terrorized by foxes, finds respite and care from an unexpected source. As part of an innovative conservation strategy, a patrol of Maremma dogs serve as protectors of the fairy penguins' nests and eggs, keeping danger at bay and providing hope for the species. The New England Aquarium is home to 51 penguins, including African penguins and southern rockhopper penguins. African penguins are an endangered species that inhabit the coasts of South Africa and Namibia and are threatened by the depletion of food from overfishing, climate change, and pollution. The aquarium is part of the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, AZA, Safe African Penguin Program, an international effort to protect and restore wild African penguin populations. As a member of the program, the aquarium participates in educational and conservation initiatives for African penguins, including field conservation work with the Southern African Foundation for the Conservation of Coastal Birds. Penguins, a Love Story, will be shown at the aquarium's Simons Theater starting February 13th, as part of its global release. Tickets and showtimes are available by calling 617-973-5206 or by visiting neaq.org. The New England Aquarium is a nonprofit research and conservation organization that has protected and cared for our ocean and marine animals for more than 55 years. We provide science-based solutions and help shape policies that create measurable change to address threats the ocean faces. We inspire action through discovery and help create engaged, resilient communities. Massachusetts RMV announces special MA250 low number plate lottery. The Massachusetts Registry of Motor Vehicles, RMV, is celebrating President's Day by announcing a special low-number lottery featuring the state's new 250th anniversary plate. Residents can apply starting today, February 16th at 9 a.m. and have until 5 p.m. on Friday, April 17th, 2026. Further information is available at mass.gov/MA250plate. The Massachusetts 250 Years of Independence plate is emblematic red, white, and blue, and is now the most popular specialty plate in the Commonwealth, with more than 57,000 issued in just over 7 months. The plate features a blue background, with the year 1776 surrounded by 13 stars and the phrase 250 Years of Independence at the bottom. There are 1,000 plates available through the lottery numbered from 1 to 999 and including the symbolic 1776. Massachusetts is a state of many firsts, and it is only appropriate that we celebrate the nation's 250th anniversary honoring our shared history with the opportunity to celebrate civic pride with a commemorative low-number license plate through a lottery. This is a fun but meaningful and visible tribute to the historic occasion, allowing residents to participate in this once-in-a-lifetime event, said Interim Mass DOT Secretary and MBTA General Manager Philip Eng. Since last May, the RMV has offered the patriotic-themed higher-numbered plates online as part of the Massachusetts 250 festivities. We are so excited to continue the celebration of American and state history by enabling all qualified Massachusetts residents a chance to win a coveted low number on the popular commemorative plate. The RMV is thrilled to partner with the Massachusetts State Lottery and benefit from their lottery expertise. And thank you to the RMV team for their incredible efforts in planning this event, Shared Registry of Motor Vehicles Registrar Colleen Ogilvy said. This event represents a unique opportunity to combine historical recognition with public engagement in a way that aligns with the lottery's mission. A commemorative low lottery plate is likely to generate strong interest from residents across the state while honoring an extraordinary milestone in our state's history, said Massachusetts State Lottery Executive Director Mark William Bracken. Applications for the special 250th anniversary plate low number lottery will be available at MyRMV Online Service Center located under the plates button, beginning at 9 a.m. on Monday, February 16, 2026. To be eligible for the low number lottery, applicants must apply by 5 p.m. on Friday, April 17, 2026. Requests for specific plate numbers will not be honored. Plates will be awarded using an electronic random number generator system. Applicants should note that there is no fee to apply for the lottery. All specialty plates have a biennial $40 special plate fee, along with a registration fee of $60. The initial registration fee may vary depending upon the applicant's current plate expiration date and the expiration date of the winning plate number. Customers are encouraged to visit the RMV's website or follow at MassRMV on X for additional details about the lottery. In addition, lottery plate applicants will be sent a notification from the RMV to the email address they provided with lottery event details. The lottery winners will be announced on May 7th, and residents will be able to watch the event online via the RMV website. Following the event, results will be available on the RMV website.